And good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio, a couple of folks from the Sitka Summer Music Festival, director Caleb Etcher and board member Cindy Gibson, here to talk about this Sunday's Steampunk Gala fundraiser. Welcome to Morning Edition.
Good morning, Melissa.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is happening this Sunday at the old Sitka Dock Passenger Building. Kayla, tell us a bit about what this event's going to look like.
It's a fundraiser that we've started doing annually in the spring and kind of a fun addition to our, you know, our annual calendar. And it's our biggest single fundraiser of the year at this point because we've added auction components to the concert and the dinner. And so it's a whole evening extravaganza. We have the Matt Herskowitz Trio coming back. They were here this summer and really, I think I can speak from, you know, reading the vibe of the audience really kind of blew everybody's mind this summer. I mean, there were authentic standing ovations where people couldn't help but leap to their feet at the end of their performances. They have a kind of a jet. They do cross-platform. And so all three of the members of the trio were classically trained at the Juilliard School, but have this amazing ability to layer jazz and world beat and, you know, kind of all sorts of other types of music on top of classical masterworks. So we'll hear, you know, the beginnings of Bach and Chopin, and then they'll take it to an entirely different place with some improv. We have a dinner being catered by Beth Short Rhodes, and that'll be, you know, a wonderful, as always, with her delicious food, wine for folks who enjoy that, and a really great lineup of silent auction items and some exciting live auction items that we can maybe talk about as well.
So a full evening, and it's at the old Sitka Dock Passenger Building.
I'm excited about that.
Talk about where that is and what that's, what's the ambience going to be like? Cindy Gibson, you're sort of the ambience person.
Why, thank you. Yes, yeah, so we, of course, don't have the option of having anything in the Centennial Hall this year. And so in looking around town, we were looking for something unique and different. And the McGraw building out at Old Sitka Docks, which is out there by the ferry terminal where the McGraws have their deep water dock and boat yard. And they have a large building that's very industrial feeling. And they use that building in the summer to host their guests. And in the winter, they were storing boats in there. So they're moving their boats out for us, and we're going to be moving in a whole bunch of cool art and steampunk and really going to transform the space. And we got inspired by the trio and their fusion of music and thinking about what kind of art uses sort of fusion. And steampunk, for those of you who've never heard of it, is a kind of a turn of the century, Victorian era meets industrial age art genre slash, you know, creation. And you can Google it, or if you've ever seen Sherlock Holmes with the Robert Downey Jr., that's kind of that vibe right there. And so we're really excited about bringing sort of this edgy, new, antique, vintage vibe to the to that space and just making it magical, transforming the whole space. So you just feel like you're not even in Sitka.
You've been doing quite a bit of art around steampunk. Is that going to be incorporated?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So everything, we're doing some large murals. Kaya Elstead is helping me do some very big murals. We're going to have one of those lantern fish, and he's being driven by a raven, and he's got a lantern on, like a literal lantern on his head, and there's going to be all kinds of underwater critters that are very steampunked. We've got a, even we steampunked Mount Edgecombe in the mural.
Steampunked. And, so this is a verb. You can actually steampunk things.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know if I just made that up or what, but absolutely. So instead of a traditional, you know, Mount Edgecombe made with dirt in the painting, we just made it out of metal. But you can definitely tell it looks like Mount Edgecombe. And same with the fish and the other critters that we're painting and doing murals around.
You brought a little steampunk critter here to the studio.
So it's kind of the creepier the better in some sort of venues with steampunk. And so they use a lot of bugs and dead things. And so I brought a spider that I just wrapped in wire and glued a light bulb onto. And he looks really cool. I'll probably put him up by the piano for the artist to enjoy.
So this is an entire package. So the synthesis and transformation that the trio represent, is also going to be seen in how you transform, the music festival transforms this right. space, which is a new and interesting space to use as a venue.
Mm-hmm.
I had an opportunity to speak briefly with Matt Herskowitz this morning about the lineup. So as you mentioned, Kayla, Bach and Chopin programs, there are going to be three sets, as I understand it, the Bach and the Chopin, which they're performing today in Spokane, right before they head up here to Sitka. Also, some of Matt's original arrangements, arranged for Jazz Trio, and then some original compositions that they did not perform in the main space at the Sitka Summer Music Festival this past summer. So cool. Some old things, some new things. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how this fundraiser fits into the whole pantheon at Sitka Summer Music Festival. Why is it important? How are the funds used?
Well, I think this type of fundraiser got started by me because I went to the Summer Music Festival. I went to the traditional concerts where everyone sits in rows and enjoys the concert, and that's wonderful. And then we had the other end of the spectrum that was very casual, and I went to a Larkspur concert where people were crowded in there, but I really enjoyed that concert because we got to eat and drink while we listened to the music. However, it was, you know, two ends of the spectrum, and I wanted to marry the two where we could have really a great venue and a nice place to enjoy the music without background noise, or not a lot of background noise, but still really be able to enjoy a nice meal and drinks and time with friends, you know, just relaxing and soaking it all in. And that's kind of the whole idea for this type of fundraiser. And then, of course, as any nonprofit will tell you, we're always looking to raise funds in unique and interesting ways that kind of bring our mission to the table and help further our mission, sharing classical music with people in Alaska, and also then benefiting ourselves through raising money.
So the auction, can you share a few of the items with us?
Yeah, there's quite an exciting selection of them, but I would say the ones that we're going to put up for live auction are a flight seeing trip and dinner for two at Dove Island Lodge. So thanks to Dove Island for contributing that. Don Lehman has a beautiful house out on Whale Island and is a gourmet chef and has offered dinner for four at his house with the Cypress String Quartet this June, and they'll perform a Beethoven quartet as part of the evening out there. So that whole evening is one of the auction items. And
that's going to be one of their last quartet, one of their last performances.
Yeah, as a sidebar. So the Cypress String Quartet is going to be here in Sitka for 2 weeks this summer, and they're actually disbanding at the end of June. So their time in Sitka is a bit of a swan song for them. And they have now recorded all 16 of the Beethoven string quartets. And one of the things that we're working on scheduling is having them perform all of 16 of those quartets during their 2 weeks here in Sitka in some capacity. Right. So the dinner at Don Lehman's house will be one of those performances. We have a board member that has a cabin in Girdwood that she has donated for a week ski trip up to Girdwood. And then there's there's a pie of the month from Dan Jones, and there's a Thai dinner and cooking lesson and
a breakfast sort of brunch on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of a Middle Earth brunch.
Yeah, so
on the beach.
Lot of experiences. there are some art items and things as well, but a lot of experiential types of items, which is kind of fun. And we're doing a raise the paddle kind of auction as well to help us redo, like purchase all new linens for Stevenson Hall, so that we have good comfortable places for our guests to stay this summer and the ability to, you know, turn those over and keep everything fresh. So that will also be part of the auction experience this Sunday.
Well, so the what's and the where's again while mm-hmm. we wrap up this interview.
So this is Wine and Music with Friends. It's this Sunday, the 28th of February, starting at 5 p.m. And we're doing it out at the Old Sitka Dock, which is at 4513 Halibut Point Road, and thanks to the McGraws for donating that space for our use for this weekend. Tickets are on sale at Old Harbor Books or through our website, sitkamusicfestival.org. And
the tickets include a dinner, which is going to be a lamb pie We're going to have some vegetables, a mac and cheese with crab, a nice hot soup. So lots to
eat. Shortbread cookies.
Shortbread cookies, yes, thank you. And two glasses of wine.
And the concert by these world-class artists. And just the atmosphere and the opportunity to be part of this steampunk environment for an evening.
Okay. And we could still use a few volunteers, so call us or contact the music festival and we'll get you signed up.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Melissa.
We've been speaking with Kayla Betcher, director of the Sitka Summer Music Festival, and board member Cindy Gibson.
It's time to apply for your PFD. When you do, please donate part of it through PickPlickGive. This is the easiest way to give a tax-free donation. Just pick your favorite nonprofit. Click on their name after applying for your PFD. And give to any of the 22 organizations that make Sitka the best place to be. For more information, including a list of who you can help, check out pickclickgive.org. Thank you for supporting Sitka.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 24th of February, 2016. It's the birthday of Wilhelm Grimm, born Hanau, Germany, 1786, of the Grimm brothers who invited people to come to their homes and recite stories, folk stories. Many of them were educated people, many of them were young women. Stories many of them had heard from servants when they were small. The Grimm brothers edited the stories, make them clearer, more logical, and also more appropriate for children. It's the birthday of the artist Winslow Homer, born Boston, 1836, went off to the Civil War to draw scenes of camp life and then retired to a small town in Maine where he spent the last 25 years of his life painting oceanscapes. It's the birthday of Honus Wagner, born Carnegie, Pennsylvania, 1874, nicknamed the Flying Dutchman, the great shortstop for the Pittsburgh Pirates. It was on this date, 1607, in Mantua, Italy, Monteverdi's opera L'Orfeo received its premiere, the story of Orpheus descending into Hades to retrieve his wife Eurydice. It's the birthday of Jane Hirschfield, New York City, 1953, went to Princeton. She was in the first graduating class to include women, class of 1973. Went off to Northern California to study Buddhism for the next 8 years, during which time she did not write at all. Jane Hirschfield said, "I don't think poetry is based just on poetry. It is based on a thoroughly lived life. And so I couldn't just decide I was going to write no matter what. I first had to find out what it means to live." Her latest collection, The Beauty, came out last year. And it's the birthday of the Irish novelist George Augustus Moore, born Ballyglass, Ireland, 1852, worked to establish the Abbey Theatre in Dublin, a prominent figure in the Irish literary Renaissance. George Moore, who said, "A man travels the world in search of what he needs and returns home to find it." Here's a poem for today by Jim Harrison entitled Molly the Brave. Molly was the bravest. In April, she would swing out over the river on a rope tied to an elm branch. There was still ice along the bank, and one day her body was found down by the weir, with a bruised head, which meant she hit ice. One summer evening, she hugged me in her wet black bathing suit after I brought her a milkshake. My blood became hot and moved in all directions. When we caught frogs to eat their legs, she said, "We are animals." And on the hill by the river, we illegally picked trillium. All the boys wanted to marry her. We kept putting the wildflowers she loved on her grave. More than 60 years later, I see clearly that no one gets over anything, least of all Molly by the river, swinging up through the air, a bird. Molly the Brave, a poem by Jim Harrison from Dead Man's Float, published by Copper Canyon Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can subscribe to the Poetry Magazine podcast and the Poetry Off the Shelf podcast in the iTunes Store or listen at poetryfoundation.org. The Writer's Almanac, supported by Staples, offering tech services for small businesses like PC setup and repair, some tasks completed by the next day. Staples.com/tech services. Staples, make more happen. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this program comes from the Law Office of Brandon C. Marks, a general practice firm assisting clients throughout Southeast Alaska in the areas of real property, family law, civil, and criminal disputes. The Law Office of Brandon C. Marks. Information available at 747-7100 or sitkalawyer.com.
This is A Matter of Fact, teaching you a new Tlingit word and a little science of the world around you every week. Jellyfish. Talk on nussy.
Jellyfish are actually considered plankton because they are incapable of swimming against ocean currents.
Jellyfish. Talk on nussy.
This is A Matter of Fact, bringing together language and science to tell the story of the land and the ocean. Brought to you by the Sitka Tribe of Alaska and the Sitka Sound Science Center.
Sounds wild.
Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
On a spring day in Glacier Bay in southeast Alaska, a raft of sea otters is floating near Bartlett Cove. The water is cold, but these otters aren't feeling it. Most marine mammals in Alaska retain their body heat with a thick layer of blubber. Sea otters are different. They don't have a lot of body fat, and instead depend on thick, well-groomed fur. Otters have phenomenally thick fur. We humans have about 2,000 hairs per square inch on our heads. Dogs have as much as 60,000 hairs per square inch, and the luxurious coat of a cat can be 5 times that dense. A sea otter can have up to 1 million hairs per square inch, the densest fur coat of any animal in the world. Long, waterproof guard hairs protect dense underfur. Hair that thick requires constant grooming. Otters groom themselves to dry their underfur and to distribute oil from their skin into the fur, making it waterproof. Air trapped in the fur keeps the otter's skin dry. The sea otter is essentially encased in a thick bubble of air, which insulates 4 times better than a similar layer of blubber. Sea otters groom a bit like cats, licking themselves and rubbing their fur with their paws. But they do this while floating in the water, somersaulting and rolling to reach every part. They spend a lot of time grooming. Their lives depend on it. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford. Sounds Wild is brought to you by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
And good morning. It's just about 35 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 47 degrees and overcast down at the Cable House out at the Rocky Gutierrez Airport. Winds are coming in from the east at 20 miles per hour. Expect rain today for all of our listening communities. The rain should stay with us through the week as well. We have gale warnings for the outside waters and small craft advisories for the inside waters. This morning on local news, we heard about how the Sitka Assembly is opening the doors to a collaboration between Sitka's 2 hospitals. For decades, the question of whether Sitka can afford 2 hospitals has percolated with little success at consolidating services. That era may be coming to a close. Last night, the Assembly entertained a motion from Search CEO Charles Clement to renew talks with Sitka Community Hospital about collaborating on medical services. We also heard how the Sitka Tribe of Alaska is discussing how to support Mount Edgecombe High School as it faces a possible takeover from the Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program. The council was unable to agree on a formal position on the issue when it met recently. And we also continued our Aging Southeast series with a look at senior veterans in Haines. You can listen to or read most Raven news stories again on our website, kcaw.org. And that is where we're going to go right now to take a look at the community calendar. Lenten services will be at 5:30 p.m. today at St. Peter's by the Sea Episcopal Church. A dog obedience class is beginning today. It's going to happen 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. every Wednesday today through March 30th at UAS. Sitka Maritime Heritage Society is holding its annual meeting at 7 p.m. tonight at the A&B Founders Hall. The program features the maritime life of Catlehan Street and life on the waterfront. Sitka Fine Arts Camp is hosting a free art reveal 7 p.m. tonight in the Del Shirley Room of Allen Hall. This is the opening of a permanent art exhibit connecting the campus's Alaska Native history with its current usage as an arts and community gathering space. Refreshments will be served, artwork by Mary Goddard, Robert Hoffman, Dave Galanin, and Jennifer Younger will be featured. Taking a look a little earlier today, the Sitka Bicycle Friendly Community Coalition is meeting noon to 1 at the Larkspur Cafe. The meeting is open to all. The featured speaker of this week's Chamber of Commerce Luncheon in Sitka are Les and Evie Kinnear, co-directors of Fortress of the Bear. The chamber meets at noon Wednesdays in the Westmark Sitka, and the public is welcome. There's going to be a meeting with prospective UAS students and their parents to talk about financial aid 3 to 6 p.m. today at UAS. There is a program that gives scholarships to Alaska Natives who want to teach, and the person who's going to be speaking is the recruiter for students who are interested in all subjects, not just teaching. Story Lab at 3:30 p.m. today for those in grades 6 through 8. That happens every Wednesday. Snacks will be provided, and it's over at the Island Institute. Sitka Tribe of Alaska Social Services Department is closed today through Friday for staff training. If you need more information, call 747-7293. Taking a look at the tide tables, at 7:43 this morning, we had a 1.6-foot low tide. Coming up at 1:41 this afternoon, we'll have a 10.1-foot high tide. And at 7:58 tonight, a 0.1-foot low tide. The sun rose at 7:09. It will set at 5:23 this evening for a total of 10 hours and 14 minutes of daylight and a gain of 4 minutes and 47 seconds over yesterday. It's just about 8:39, which means we are going to head back shortly to NPR. Just to let you know, Raven Radio listeners may experience brief signal outages for 2 to 12 minutes daily between 12:15 and 12:45 p.m. because of the position of the sun this year. We are now heading over to NPR. Thanks so much for joining me, and have a good morning.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Here's an update on the destruction of the Amazon rainforest. Things did not look good last fall when an NPR team, including Lourdes Garcia Navarro, had a look around.
I'm actually walking on the remains of the forest right now. There are tree trunks smoldering in front of me. Some are actually still shooting up flames.
The forest was being slashed and burned despite Brazil's public commitment to save it. Since then, Brazil has made another commitment. It was one of many nations that signed a global agreement to fight climate change last December. The country vowed to stop hacking down so many of the trees and undergrowth that would otherwise absorb carbon dioxide. So, let's see how Brazil is doing in this new year. Reporter Juliana Barbosa says it's still not good. She traveled to a Brazilian state where the rainforest bumps up against spreading settlement.
Often on the road, we would literally see on one side thick jungle, and on the other side, soy for as far as the eye could see.